C2M, Chapter 3, Marriage. The Christian Science Textbook, a workshop on text interpretation. Number 1A.
The subject now is the chapter on marriage. We have done the chapter on prayer 2 years ago. Last year we did Atonement and Eucharist. And now we take the third chapter, marriage, and then afterwards the chapter on Christian Science versus spiritualism. So I start with the chapter on marriage. I remember way back that John Dolly said, the moment you talk about the chapter on marriage, you are bound to get into trouble. So I will see how I can get out of trouble, in spite that I'm a bachelor talking about marriage. But you will see that I think I can get out of it very easily if it is possible for me to convey really what the chapter on marriage really wants to show, and not just a superficial idea of marriage, so that we get the deep meaning that lies behind the science of marriage. You know that Mrs. Eddy even calls marriage, her chapter, the science of marriage in prose work, so that there must be a science behind that chapter. And to investigate that science is the core of our work this week. The reason why one can get so easily into trouble with the chapter on marriage is because one usually asks wrong questions and expects answers from the chapter on marriage which Mrs. Eddy does not raise and does not answer. Namely, usually people go to the chapter because they want to know, should we marry or should we not marry? Should we have children or should we not have children? Should Christian Scientists have children or shouldn't they have children? These are questions that the textbook does not answer. It is not concerned with these side issues, so to say. It is engaged in something much deeper, namely into the science of relationships. So we will not get a good human view on marriage and nice human advice and psychological advices on the question of marriage, but much more the principle of marriage and not a personal human view how marriage should be, what should consist marriage, and these questions. It has much more to do with relationship. Marriage is wedding ourselves to something, and therefore it is a question of finding the principle of human relationships. And because it is a question of human relationships and not just between husband and wife, we will see that the chapter is full of relationships that are much wider, much more universal than just that relationship between husband and wife. We will find here the principle of relationship also between male and female, between parent and children, but much more than the relationship in society. You can see a much broader view of relationship in society, the relationship in partnership, in companionship, then the relationship in a whole civilization, in society, in humankind, in the human race, and finally, at the end of the chapter, our relationship with God. So one can see a whole range of nearly ascending stages of relationship, right from the relationship of male and female to husband and wife to parent and children, and from there on and on and on to friendship, to society, to a whole civilization, to the whole human race. And therefore we must look out for those problems and not just the relationship between husband and wife. These relationships are shown as relationships of qualities and not relationships between people. So the whole society and the whole civilization, the whole human race, is therefore a question of wedding qualities, not wedding people, but wedding qualities. And this is the point that we have to consider and keep in mind. And then if we do that, then we find that these relationships are not only individual, they are also collective, they are also universal. And we can see that the wedding of qualities is the main point and showing what are good qualities, what are better qualities, and what are the highest qualities. And so the more we would see that qualities blend, the more a relationship is harmonious and is happy. So we have to consider the blending of qualities. She not even goes as far as to show blending of ideas. She never mentions the term idea in the whole chapter. And this is indicative for this chapter because, as we will see, it is a chapter that regulates the transition from the human to the divine. So that foremost, we will have to deal and consider qualities, divine qualities then translated to the human level of existence as good human qualities. And so we find also that good human qualities can be improved, that we always can see higher qualities, always can practice higher qualities, until finally the human qualities give completely way to the divine relationship. That human relationships have to go, and that only divine relationship will finally give us a complete answer, that finally only divine relationship are harmonious and therefore satisfactory. That as long as we have only human relationships and human qualities, that doesn't really bring us to the goal of relationship, namely what she presents then at the end, on the last page of the chapter, namely the relationship of man to God. So in this way I have already depicted a little bit the center, the core of the chapter, so that we are ready to direct our consciousness to the right focus and not to try to see the final relationship right from the beginning, namely the final relationship of that wedding, that marriage feast, of which St. John in the Revelation tells us, where love is wedded to its own idea. This is not the subject. That is the subject of the last chapter. Here in the third chapter, the beginning of the textbook, we have a wedding of qualities that must first be demonstrated and first must be practiced. So we know, naturally, because we know the textbook, that fundamentally man is both male and female. But that is not the question here in this third chapter. In the third chapter, we have not yet, so to say, the demonstration of that highest idea called man, which is male and female. We have the steps leading to that point. We have the degrees that lead to that point. Naturally, we know fundamentally from the textbook that man is two individualities in one, that man includes qualities of the female character and of the male character, so that fundamentally every idea expresses manhood and womanhood, and therefore is wedded to principle. But this is not the question here. And we have to stress that very clearly so that we are not looking out in this chapter for something which is not there. We have to look out for something which is there, and that which is there is something very tender, namely that we begin to see, or that she wants to show, that we cannot in one day come out of evil into good, that we cannot in one day be translated to be a mortal into an immortal. Nobody has yet done that. We still walk around with a body and with demands that the human body has on us, and therefore we are in a transitionary stage. And this transitionary stage is the chapter on marriage. There is no other chapter in the textbook that shows such a transitionary stage. A transitionary stage of what? Of coming out of the human and finding one's wedding, finding one's unity, one's true relationship with God. So we can see really the line of development through the first three chapters very easily. We had in the chapter on prayer, we had all those qualities presented that enable us to approach God. So prayer appeals to those divine qualities within the human, which the human really can fulfill in order to approach God, like true desire, like reflecting spiritual qualities, like being honest and sinless, like being steadfast in one's attitude, and so on. Then we had the second chapter, Atonement and Eucharist, where it was shown that the divine must overcome the human at every point, so that the higher overcomes the lower, that the divine must overcome the human at every point. That was the Christ demand on the human. And so we can see that we go from one chapter to the next chapter, first mobilizing, so to say, within the human all that is divine, of divine qualities, not ideas. The chapter on prayer never has the term idea, has not the term idea in the text. So you can see it's not yet dealing with men as idea. First, it's dealing with those good qualities in the human that have a leaning to the divine. Then Atonement and Eucharist says, then the divine must overcome the human at every point. Well, that is not done in a day. Not even Jesus did it in a day. And so Mrs. Eddy can see that this demand that the divine must overcome the human at every point is a long drawn experience, a lifelong experience, to get out of the human sense of things and acquaint ourselves more and more with the divine sense of things. So in order that her textbook is a practical textbook, she had to give us the first touch of Christianity, namely that sense which we have here in the third chapter, which is the word as Christianity in the matrix, which gives the first touch of what Christianity is from the human point of view. namely that transitionary stage coming out of the mortal and having ascendancy over the mortal, so that step by step somehow the mortal within us falls, and so that the divine becomes stronger and stronger within us until finally all the mortals disappear and we have only the divine in us. That's then the last page of the chapter. That man then is coexistent with God, one with God. He has found then his only relationship that is true and divine, and that's a relationship with God. So if we consider and read then together the text, we will notice that we always will have to do with that transitional stage, not with a final fact, not with a final divine fact. We will see, for instance, very clearly that she always uses the comparative form. You know, you have the single form, then the comparative, and then the superlative. Well, she usually uses always the comparative form. Only towards the end, there is here and there the superlative. Now, this again gives us an indication what the chapter wants us to show. It wants to show that in proportion as we rise, not the end of it. And therefore, this chapter is so practical for us, because we all know that we still have a human side within us, that not everything within us is 100% divine yet, and that we cannot demonstrate overnight that everything in us is eternally divine, or we would disappear from this plane of existence. So I feel that especially this chapter is a very tender chapter, a chapter that says, look here, reader, I don't expect that you make the transition from the mortal to the immortal just in one jump. You have a way to go. And on that way, I give you a principle. On that way, I give you a line, an order, so to say, a red thread along which you can think and act and live, so that it leads you securely out of the mortal into the divine. So marriage, therefore, will give us, so to say, only a symbol of approximation to the final unity between God and man. It is that approximation where in the comparative we step by step approximate the ultimate, and therefore gives us a way to do it. It therefore does not surprise us that then when we take the introductory paragraph that she right away talks about concessions. So the whole chapter, we don't yet take that paragraph. So the chapter on marriage, telling us about the concessions that we have to make. It is what she says, suffer it to be so now. To be so now, not forever. But the interesting thing is that these concessions must be such that they help in the advancement of spiritual good. They are not just blind concessions. They are not just weak concessions. Just because we cannot make the great right away, that we make concession left and right, but that they must only be concessions that are made for the advancement of spiritual good. All right. Now, how does she define the nature of marriage? What marriage is? She says, and this is perhaps the first important point for which we have to remember, marriage is temporal. Marriage is temporal. Again, we see the transitory nature of marriage. Whereas the true wedding, as we have in Revelation, is eternal. The wedding of principle and idea is an eternal unity. But marriage is temporal. It's a concession. It's a concession, and we can see how long. What is the end of that concession? And she says, well, it is a concession that continues until there is an end to it. Spiritual creation is discerned intact. So we can see marriage wants to help us on the way to the final goal of the human, namely where we lay down the human, and spiritual creation is discerned intact. Namely, in spiritual creation, there is no more need for marrying and for wedding. Or she says, until it is learned that God is the Father of all. The moment we see that God is the Father of all, and no more the parents are our father and mother, and that we are a child of parents, of human, mortal parents, then the marriage comes to an end. She says it is a legal and moral provision for generation and among humankind. Again, we can see it is a provision for generation among humankind. Well, that is unknown in the chapter creation or in the chapter Genesis. There only God is the creator, and nothing else is the creator. There are no parents that generate children. And we can see that here a completely different sense is being brought out than in the latter chapters of the textbook. That she must also give, so to say, a science and a principle which will guide us on the way to the ultimate, because we cannot reach the ultimate at once. There must be a guidance on the way, and marriage is one of those possibilities to guide us on the way. She says marriage improves the human species. Well, human species is not the creation of God. And again, we say, see, that is not something divine. In the divine, man is idea. Man is not the human species. But as long as we have a sense that we belong to the human species and act like humans and react like humans, then the question is, can we improve that state of things? And actually, if we can improve that, the better. Then that also helps in the salvation of humankind. She says, then, what then is that marriage, that wedding? And says, well, it's a scientific, moral, spiritual unity. So it is a spiritual unity that is finally to be attained, a union of hearts, not a union of people, not a union of mortals, but that underneath the union of mortals lies really the union of hearts, or the spiritual unity. So the scientific morale, she says, of marriage is spiritual unity. And to attain that spiritual unity, she gives us the step-by-step process. All right. So in this way, I think I have first introduced the place value of the chapter, so that we know here she is not talking on the same subject as in the chapter on creation, or in the chapter Genesis, or in the chapter Apocalypse, where we have the marriage feast, where the wedding is between love and love's idea, which is something very different. It's not the Lamb's wife that is here under consideration, love wedded to his own spiritual idea, but it's a wedding of spiritual qualities. And so we will find the whole principle of how to wed spiritual qualities that the human can entertain and can practice. In the Epitome book, we have under marriage then the question, what is the standpoint of this chapter? After having given some references, which you certainly have read, and then the standpoint which says, now, what is the standpoint here? So let's quickly consider the standpoint of the chapter. We are still in the first four chapters, which have the standpoint of the Word, which gives us really a statement of God's nature. Here, in the third chapter, as Christianity, we have the demonstration of the evolution, so to say, of that higher nature. It gives God's nature, and from the relative standpoint of Christianity, shows the human demonstration, or the demonstration of the qualities in humanity, of a higher sense of humanity, not the demonstration of the idea man. So this gives us a keynote, what really we should find in this chapter, namely that demonstration of a constantly rising, exalting way of Christianity. And this is brought out very clearly in the scriptural notes. So we go to the scriptural notes, and we know that there are three scriptural notes, so to say, or let's say three tones in the scriptural notes that we have here.